Hey, podcast listeners. Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/adfreenews. That's amazon.com/adfreenews to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's 77 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Joy News at midday. This bulletin is also live on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, also on our affiliates across the country and around the world at myjoyonline.com. Coming up, scores of angry Stop Galamse and Red Occupy Jubilee protesters have blocked main roads leading to parts of Accra, vowing to press home their demand for concrete action to end illegal mining.
Yes, can I afford it? I cannot afford it. I want clean water now.
The youth of Ghana between the age of 16 and 35 will be 12 million. If we call any action, then you see 100, 200 people. The message is sending is that we are not serious.
We have a response from the police. Now, disqualified presidential candidates for the 2024 general election threaten legal action against the Electoral Commission for disqualifying them without basis.
We are definitely going to court, and I guarantee you, we will be on the ballot for this election in 2024 because we are not afraid of the Electoral Commission.
Plus, other stories making the news this afternoon. Now, let's start off from the ongoing demonstration in Accra and scores of angry stopped Galamse and reoccupied Jubilee protesters have blocked some roads leading to parts of the capital, vowing to press home their demand for concrete action to end illegal mining. The protesters have been burning campaign materials of the governing MPP in the middle of the road, accusing some officials of being complicit in the illegal activity. Listen to some of the angry protesters demanding clean water now.
Can I afford it? I cannot afford it. I want clean water now.
That is all you're paying for.
When the woman was driving on over us, where were you standing here? You won't let us pass.
So
but
need
to drive on us.
You know what the religion teacher?
Where's my Galamse water? Come and drink some for me. We alone, we should drink it. You are just
where's the water? Where's the water?
Drink it too.
They say we don't demonstrate. No problem. Just fix our water. That is what we're asking.
Yes.
You steal money right now in the Kiwi. A human being can go 3 days without water and you are dead.
Yeah.
So if all our water becomes poison and you cannot afford to buy or import water, it means you've been sentenced
water.
To death.
The water you are stealing.
Your politicians will not save you because when they go import water.
The yes. Water. They'll run away to.
Ghana Water Company say right now they've reduced their water supply by 75%.
The people who vote for you.
It means if you open your tap water, you know you'll get water. And even if water comes through your taps, those water has been poisoned.
Yes.
It is not fit for drinking.
Chemicals in Kwan.
But you see, the foolish thing we say, the pure water companies, where do they get their water from?
The same, source of water.
And they are quiet. So don't be fools saying, go feed by the water.
Chemicals.
And those were some demonstrators. Now, we'll be going live to the grounds very soon. But let's listen to the Police Administration Director of Public Affairs at the Ghana Police Service, ACP Grace Ansah Akrofi. Says the police is mindful of its duties and work to ensure a peaceful demonstration.
The police have deployed fully, as we mentioned yesterday, that as part of our special operation in the city of Accra today, yesterday we informed you about some roadblocks that have been done to ensure the safety and security of every person in the country. You are all here. You can see our men are fully on the ground. We have seen some of the demonstrators on the other side of the blockade. They have blocked the road. They are currently all over the place. We are here with a de-escalation mindset, and we are determined to keep the peace of this country. We want the general public to be assured that the police are here and we will do whatever it takes to keep the peace of this country. But we have our men here, you can see. And depending on what situation we have to address, our men will come in. We are ready to handle any eventuality for the day.
But some say you are overly protecting the presidency. What is your reaction to that?
Well, I don't know whether there's anything like overprotection. Ensuring the security safety of our nation is very important. And we are all here. That is the mandate of the police, to at all times maintain security, law and order in the country. And that is exactly what we are doing today.
And in your press statement earlier, you mentioned that you picked intelligence that the protesters intend causing trouble. Can you confirm?
I cannot disclose our intelligence approaches, obviously, but intelligence is to inform our strategic deployment, which is exactly what we've done. So we are ready to handle any situation that may arise.
So there is the head of public relations for the Ghana Police Service. We'll be taking you live to the grounds very soon. But organizers of the demonstration, they are demanding that the youth come out in their numbers to join the demonstration.
When you guys know they come, they go against me.
Yes.
The youth of Ghana between the age of 16 and 35 will be 12 million. If we call any action, then you see 100, 200 people. The message is sending that we are not serious. So if water situation affect all 30 million Ghanaians, and we are asking to come out and show our displeasure, then the Ghanaian youth day house, they tell we say, we support you. That is not necessary.
Yes.
The support is right here on the street.
Yes.
To show them that, yes, the majority of us don't agree with what they are doing.
Yes.
If it comes to importing water, those people in that house, they have the free way to import it. And they import pizza, they come. Why can't they import water?
Yes.
By you, then we. If water tanker don't come, who gives us water? So to the Ghanaian youth watching us, if you're there, where you can relax for house,
yes.
Come out and join us here.
Right, so what is the situation on the ground now? Let me take you live there. Maxwell Agbagba is my colleague on the ground. Maxwell, so what can you report?
Well, Alton, as you can hear in the background, some of the protesters right now, shouting, no way. Telling commuters who want to use the intersection, the 37 roundabout, that they cannot use the 37 roundabout. And now personnel from the MTTD of the Ghana Police Service have been forced to redirect traffic to other areas. And that's what we've been seeing. Right in front of me, I've seen some bricks and bags of sachet water that the protesters have used to block the road. About 2 hours ago, one of the conveyors, himself, Oliver Bakavoma, drove a van directly into the middle of the road, blocking that road also. So for now, if you're heading to the Central Business District, if you're heading to the Central Business District and its environs, you would have to use different routes as provided by personnel of the Ghana Police Service. If you're going to Medina and its environs also, you cannot use this because the protesters have blocked all the roads connecting to this intersection here at a 37 roundabout. And they tell us that they are not going to leave. They are demanding concrete action against illegal mining. One of the people we've seen here is independent presidential candidate Kofi Cranston. Let's speak to him. Let's find out from him why he's taking part in this protest today. Sir, welcome to you.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Yeah, tell us why you're taking part in the protest.
Because I'm Ghanaian, and it makes sense. Everybody in Ghana today is an endangered species because the levels of toxicity in our waters at some point is going to make us all have metastatic cancer. And we need to start talking about this. We are angry. We're disappointed in our leadership. We need to also protect the futures of unborn children because you know how much the levels of toxicity can affect pregnancy. So that's why we're here. I think every Ghanaian who's concerned about Ghana needs to be here and needs to talk about why this is so important. And we're here to show solidarity. We understand the frustrations that our brothers and sisters are going through, and we need to be in support.
Okay. Finally, as an independent presidential candidate, I'm curious to know what you would do if you become president to stop illegal mining.
Very simple. First of all, the earth-moving equipment that came through Temahabo did not fly through the skies. It came through Temahabo. Who's in control of Temahabo? Okay. Our government is in control of Temahabo. So if they allowed for the earth-moving equipment, if they allowed for the earth-moving equipment to come through Temahabo, then you cannot then come back and say that you want to make an attempt to stop Galamse. You had control. You didn't exercise the control, the power that you had, right or right? You see what I'm saying? So it's very simple to stop Galamse if you know how, because if I were a president, I was not going to allow for all the earth-moving equipment to come through Temahabo. And for the ones that have been allowed to be used in the mining, they will be tagged so that we could control exactly what they do. Because we have machines that could tell you exactly how much earth you are moving, how much a movement you are making in all real time.
Okay. Thank you for talking to us. So Alton, you just heard from independent presidential candidate Kofi Crantin there, who has also joined the protest. The protesters tell us that this is not a partisan one, and they don't want to see any NDC or NPP flags. So a lot of the flags that we've seen here have been, you know, the Ghana flag. The Ghana flag, and they've discouraged people, people who are taking part in the demonstration from using any party colors. But the personnel of the Ghana Police Service, they've managed to keep them at bay. So they've mounted their barricades very close to the statue here, here at 37 roundabout. And we have about three different layers, you know, of barricades that have kept the protesters at bay. They say they will not allow them to protest at the Revolution Square. So they've not had, the protesters, the demonstrators, have not had that opportunity to move there. And now they're just protesting right here in the middle of the road at the 37 intersection at the 37 roundabout. Okay.
Master, before I let you go, I mean, you spoke about the fact that the protesters insist that this is a non-partisan protest. Yet I've seen videos of them burning flags and other, you know, things representing a particular political party, in this case, the MPP.
Exactly. So we have been asking, and some of them have been telling us that they think that the current government, so they've been removing the campaign paraphernalia of the NPP and some banners of Dr. Mahmoud Oumia, the vice president, burning those flags right in the middle of the road. And when we asked them, they told us that they think that the government in power, the NPP government, the President Akufo-Addo-led government, has not done enough to fight illegal mining. And they think that some members of the NPP themselves are complicit in the menace. And so to demonstrate their displeasure, to show their displeasure, and to get government to act faster on the menace, they say that this is the way, one of the ways they think they can press home their demands. So yes, indeed, they've been banning those flats. They've been banning those campaign materials right here in the middle of the road here at 37.
Okay. And then finally, the blockage that they have undertaken, is it part of the agreement they had with the police? And if not, what is the police doing about it?
Well, no, it's not part of the agreement that they had with the police. And earlier, when the Director of Public Affairs of the Ghana Police Service was speaking, she said that the police came here with a de-escalation mindset. And that's what we've seen here so far, to the point when sometimes the protesters, you can see them sometimes very angry, insulting everybody, including sometimes the police. The police really has not reacted. And I've seen some of them move very close to the protesters, telling them to calm tensions, just trying to de-escalate the situation. And that is what we have seen right now. So really, the police has demonstrated that de-escalation, you know, mindset here on the ground. They've not really tried removing those blockades, except just begging the protesters to ensure that they do whatever they are doing in a peaceful manner. Sometimes even begging them to get on the streets to allow commuters, you know, to move. But right now, the convener, one of the conveners, Oliver Bakabomo, is addressing them. Let's hear what they are saying.
Yeah, 200 bags in the good attack. What is your comedy will be a Bumbi?
So, you just heard from one of the conveners, Oliver Barker-Vomowo. Essentially, what he said in chief is that the protesters should take their time, and that it's 12 o'clock, and that there's lunch on the way coming. They have bags of sachet water that they'll provide, they'll give to all of them. So they should be patient. And he says that one of the things that they want to do is to ensure that the place is clean after the protest. So they should ensure that any plastic material that they find on the ground also, you know, they pick them up and then clean up the place before the protest ends. So really, it looks like this is going to go deep into the night. I noticed that the organizers provided, they said they're going to end the protest at 12 a.m.
But
we're still here monitoring the situation, and bring you up to speed and everything that happens here.
And then also briefly, I mean, what about participation early on? And the sound that I played, one of the organizers was clearly unhappy with the numbers that he was seeing, and actually asking the youth to come from their homes and join them at the demonstration grounds. I mean, from what you've seen, is it encouraging? Is it something that they are happy with now?
Well, some of the people we've been speaking to are not happy about the numbers, because they say that illegal mining affects everyone, including young people. And they are expecting young people who have the strength and the energy to pour onto the streets, you know, to protest. So really, they are not satisfied. From what I've been hearing from some of the protesters, they are not happy with the numbers. But they are saying that with the little numbers that they have here, they think that they've been able to drum home the point and then press demands, you know, for change to happen. And they think that by even blocking the roads and creating that massive gridlock in town, people will be angry enough to also speak out, you know, about the issue of illegal mining and the menace that they say is destroying this country and likely to destroy, you know, generations to come. Elton,
thank you very much, Maswell. And the demonstration is live on the Joy News channel, Joy News. You can watch it live, and of course, we'll be going back to Maswell as a witness. But before we go, workers of the Northern Electricity Distribution Company are accusing government of having an ulterior motive for the proposed merger of the Volta River Authority and Ebui Power. According to the workers, government did not consult the workers who are critical stakeholders before presenting the draft bill to Parliament. Martina Bugri followed them and came through with this report.
The workers who tied red armbands around their hands and clouded in red shouted they would not agree for NETCO to be sold. Government should put the interests of Ghanaians first. They also danced around the premise as part of their protest. Speaking to the media, chairman of the Senior Staff Association, Charles Phillips, said the end results of the merger would be high power cost.
Today, we are here to register our displeasure at the merger bills being sent to Parliament. We feel that we, being stakeholders, were not consulted in the draft bill. Sure. It is a practice that every draft bill, after drafting it, you discuss with the stakeholders, take their inputs before you send it to Parliament for consideration. This was not done. We feel they have some ulterior motive. That is why this was not done. Apart from this, we feel that the bills are not in the interest of the ordinary Ghanaian. Why are we saying that?
Sure.
The bill seeks to take away the thermal assets of VRA and hand it over to a private man. As we speak, all the private independent power producers are selling their power at 45 Ghana pesos. VRA's thermal power is being sold at 19 pesos. If you send it to the private man, he is also going to jack it up, and they are going to hold the country to ransom.
Sure.
Electricity is a national security issue, And we must all take interest. We are urging all Ghanaians, all well-meaning and informed Ghanaians, to back us and we'll fight this.
Right, so that's it for the news at midday here. But for more stories, log on to our website, myjoyonline.com. Again, the demonstration by Democracy Hub is live on Joy News. But, you know, the Joy Sports link is up next on Joy 99.7 FM, of course, with your man, Nathaniel Nato. Nat.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Elton, before we get into sports, let's discuss, you know, this issue of Galamsey. Look, we've been pushing very hard, and we couldn't have sent this message at less a crucial time.
Yeah,
we are building up to an election. We're hearing policy documents. We're hearing people articulating their respective policy documents. But we need to put all of that aside because, you know, I was having a chat with a friend of mine yesterday, and I was asking them how, touch wood again, how it will be in Ghana if we have to import bottled water.
Of course.
And import even sachet water.
It's sachet water.
And that is how bad it is.
It is. That is how bad it is. Remember, I mean, let me take you back, like, my first documentary on Joy FM, I did it at Amansia.
Yeah.
It was at the time that the issue of Galamsey was becoming a challenge for the people at Amansia in Ashanti region. The Millennium Challenge Authority had built a school for the community. Now, illegal miners had virtually destroyed the school. And so, KISS, some of them had fallen into some of the pits and died. So an assembly member reported them out. We went there to investigate and it was bad. And then it was this around 10 years ago. So then a Ghana Water Company official told me that now they are not so sure the quality of water we drink, the sachet water we're drinking. So he told me that if I want to be sure of it, I should just buy some, keep it there for like 3 days, allow the water to rest. And then after 3 days, as you go and have a look at the water, and I will see the impurities in there. I did. So from that time up to now, I've never taken sachet water. I resorted to taking bottled water. Now that in itself is also a challenge because the water source is from Ghana, and you never know how you are exposing yourself to all manner of diseases with the water you are drinking. Now we have been told that it is even affecting the reproductive organ of men, sperm is becoming weaker, and then you have people giving birth to deformed babies with some of their organs, you know, in places where they are not supposed to be. This is how bad the situation is. And you see, this thing is not stopping. It is not stopping because we have people in authority who are also neck deep in the illegal mining activity, and government appears to be helpless. I don't know whether it is deliberate or because of all the Operation Vanguard, Operation Halt.
And talk about that, Elton. Dr. Nyahunyahu Tamaklu made a very profound statement the last time we had a conversation with him on the Super Morning Show, where he said, if the military decide to stamp their authority or stamp their foot, this problem will be solved within the shortest possible time.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is a problem somewhere.
No, but not. It is the same. Some members of the military that were used for Operation Vanguard, and some actually went there to enrich themselves. Some became so corrupted, and even the people who were asked to go and get them to stop the illegal mining activity. So it is difficult to sometimes trying to put a finger in terms of solution, because you have police and military that have compromised themselves. We have representatives of this committee set up by government, and where you think that they will act honorably, they go and then take money, and then sometimes they are the owners of some of these mining sites. The situation we are in now, I think the whole nation must come together, like what is happening now, and we must demand an end to this thing. Otherwise, if we leave it in the hands of policymakers, we won't get anywhere.
Elton Broby is a Joy News editor.
This stadium matter.
Yeah, and I wanted you to comment on it. So we find ourselves generally as a nation in all sorts of emergency situations while we're dealing with this very unfortunate circumstance of illegal mining in our communities. We're also dealing with issues of unavailability of standard infrastructure for competition for Ghana, and that is causing major international embarrassments. Today, we want to take a look at the solutions. But tell me what you've picked around, regarding how people are reacting to this news of us not having what it takes to host international
matches. It's disgraceful. And I don't even know where we're going to play our next game, because from what I've been told, Togo has denied us access to their country because the stadium they have, and because of their own upcoming international games, and then the time allocation will be practically it will be difficult for Ghana to have access to the stadium. So we don't even know whether we are going to like Cote d'Ivoire or Sudan or wherever. You see, it tells you one thing. Our maintenance culture is an issue. Yesterday on game plan, I listened to the press statement that came from the National Sports Authority regarding the impasse between them and then the TAQA over the management of the TNA Park. I mean, laughable statement that people shouldn't think that because of the fact that they are in the news for all the bad reasons, the assembly should take over the maintenance of the pitch. Pitch constructed by Goldfields, handed over to the local assembly for use by media and the likes. You cannot even build sports stadium for us. The ones we've left them in your care. You've mismanaged it to the extent that the whole country, four-time winners of the African Cup of Nations, we've produced the likes of Mike Lesien, Sule Muntari, Stephen Appiah, and the rest. Now we cannot even boost off a modern stadium to host international competitions. You rent the stadium for entertaining activities, and you cannot even use the revenue that you get to maintain the pitch. Wembley is always almost time lease for boxing and other, music art. How come that they are able to maintain it after those activities, and yet we cannot do the same here? I think the NSA person who was sacked is a step in the right direction. I think more people should be sacked. The minister himself, I think, honorably, he should have resigned by now. The deputy who questioned us why we are complaining because Morocco didn't play in the skies, why is he still in the office?
He's actually acting at this point. He's been asked to Jesus act Christ. Again a third time.
Jesus Christ.
Elton John Brobe is a Joy news editor. Brought us the Joy midday news. And now it's time for us to get into the issues. Today, we are obviously starting at 12:26 for very obvious reasons. We had to extend the midday news because of the demonstration which is ongoing. And, youthful people, friends all over are gathering at a key part in Accra or a key location in Accra to send down that message and to drum home that message. And this is something we're pursuing very, very vigorously here at the Multimedia Group on all of our platforms so we can see an end to this practice. We all need to come together as a people. We all need to be committed to this, and we all need to see a logical end to this problem, because we're not only saving ourselves if we do this, we're saving and securing the future of the children we're giving birth to and the children after them. I'm talking about the future of this nation, and that becomes very, very crucial in the scheme of things. Talk about the future of this nation. There's an aspect of our planning in the sports sector which we are going to deal with today. We've had loads and loads of conversations about the news of Ghana's inability to meet standard criteria for hosting international matches by the Confederation of African Football. For that reason, Babayaro Stadium, which has been a main place or a main venue for the hosting of some games sometime during the week, received the confirmation that they will not be able to, that venue will not be able to host, the next two qualifiers. Now, Ghana then would have to go back to basics and get all of these fixed. As we speak, our major stadia are all closed down and not available for use for any of our Premier League clubs. It is also interesting to note that when the club licensing team under the Ghana Football Association went round and was certifying pitches for the start of the Ghana Premier League season, which enters a third match day this weekend, they did not certify fully some of these very big venues. And that also becomes another aspect of worry. We're in the year 2024. We're looking ahead to bigger things. We're looking ahead to qualification for the next World Cup, where we, depending on how well we do at this competition, will get a certain level of funding as well. How are we going to channel these if we are able to get there? But the big question is, why should we be discussing this subject, which is supposed to be a basic element within the bigger picture of organization of the game of football. Today, we're having conversations with friends who have Ghanaian interest at heart. We're looking at it from their respective lenses. We'll get a technocrat who is in the industry of construction of pitches. This issue of pitches and astroturfs and all around them, we're going to discuss this afternoon. And we're also going to take a look at some of the facts and some of the figures and how much of a complexity it is to have good pitches and manage them. Is it possible in our climate and with the kind of weather conditions that we have? Is it possible? If it's possible, why is it that our neighbors in Togo who have similar conditions climate-wise are able to have better pitches? Why is it that the likes of Mali are able to have better pitches? These are all questions we'll be posing to our guests this afternoon. Of course, we'll be bringing you a dose of Formula One. And also, what is important is that we will be bringing you a big dose of boxing as well. Do remember, it's a big weekend.